As we begin our time in God's Word, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning thanking you for the blessings of worship, for the testimony of the Gideons, Lord, for all that we've enjoyed so far in our worship together. As we come to your Word today to study deeply from it, to drink deeply from it, Lord, I pray that you would open our hearts and minds that we might understand and that we might walk in faith, that we might see our need for repentance, that we might see our need for a sacrifice, and that we might turn to Jesus in faith and trust in him. I pray all these things in Christ's name. Amen. Well, this morning we're going to be in two different passages. We're going to be in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4, just one verse, easy enough. And then we're going to be in Genesis chapter 4, verses 1 through 16, as we get the backstory to the passage from Hebrews chapter 11. So if you want to go ahead and turn to both of those passages, you can. Well, I've begun in last week. I started what will be the last section of our study in Christian discipleship. And we're looking at, from the book of Hebrews, from Hebrews chapter 11, actually, we're looking at the examples of the Old Testament that show us what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. And so this morning we come to the first example that the writer of Hebrews gives us, and that is the example of Abel. And so to see this example, we're going to read Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4, and then we're going to flip back to Genesis chapter 4, verses 1 through 16 to get the background passage that Hebrews is referring to. So let's start by reading Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gifts. And through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. And then if you would flip over to Genesis chapter 4 with me, and we'll read the story of Cain and Abel to get the full picture of what Hebrews is talking about. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 1 through 16. It says, "Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, saying, 'I have gotten a man with the help of the Lord.' And again she bore his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, and Cain a worker of the ground. In the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground. And Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering he had no regard. So Cain was very angry, and his face fell. The Lord said to Cain, 'Why are you angry, and why has your face fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is for you, but you must rule over it.' Cain spoke to Abel, his brother, and when they were in the field, Cain rose up against his brother Abel and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, 'Where is Abel, your brother?' He said, 'I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper?' And the Lord said, 'What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground. And now you are cursed from the ground, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you work the ground, it shall no longer yield to you its strength. You shall be a fugitive and a wanderer on the earth.' Cain said to the Lord, 'My punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, you have driven me today away from the ground, and from your face I shall be hidden. I shall be a fugitive and a wanderer on the earth, and whoever finds me will kill me.' Then the Lord said to him, 'Not so. If anyone kills Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold.' And the Lord put a mark on Cain, lest any who found him should attack him. Then Cain went away from the presence of the Lord and settled in the land of Nod, east of Eden." So from these two passages, I want you to see two points today. We're going to consider the fact that faith offers a right sacrifice. And second, faith righteously suffers. So faith offers a right sacrifice, and faith righteously suffers. So first of all, faith offers a right sacrifice. In the first half of Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4, we get the answer to a nagging question that lingers over the story of the Old Testament. When you read the story of Cain and Abel in Genesis chapter 4, you may come away feeling a little bit dissatisfied because the story never answers for us what seems to be a very important question. And that is, why is Abel's sacrifice accepted and Cain's rejected? After all, both men brought a sacrifice, but Abel's is accepted. And God even says of Cain, in fact, that he has not done well, that Abel has done well and he has not. So what is the issue with Cain's sacrifice? Well, even though both bring a sacrifice, that's about as far as the similarities go. We get hints at the answer to this question from the story itself. For one, in Genesis chapter 4, verse 3, we're told that Cain gave of the fruit of the ground, and that in Genesis chapter 4, verse 4, Abel brought the firstborn of the flock and its fatted portions. Now, I think that the Bible doesn't make a mistake and is not just throwing away facts here to tell us these things, that these details are notable and they're intentional. Cain, I picture, went through his garden, and he's looking for something to bring to the Lord. So he sees that tomato that's been eaten up by the horned caterpillar, and he grabs it. And he goes over to the lettuce, and he sees some wilted lettuce there, so he cuts that. And then he goes, since you're talking about peas, he goes out to the pea patch, and he sees the peas that are they're all brown and dark, and they're too far gone to eat, so he grabs those. Or maybe they've got bugs in them, so he grabs those. And he takes those to the Lord, and he offers those to the Lord. But Abel, on the other hand, took the best of his flock. He took the firstborn. And not only did he just take the best animal, but he took the best of the animal. He took the fatted portions. Now, today, we've been programmed from 60 years of a negative publicity about fat, that fat's a bad thing. But the ancients knew fat for what it is, which is the most flavorful and most nutrient-dense food source that we can find. And in the Old Testament especially, the fat portion in the Levitical law was what God required for a sacrifice. And it was the most treasured portion of any animal. So Abel brings his best, and Cain brings the rest, you might say. But also, there's a distinction in the meaning behind each sacrifice. The Hebrew word for offering that we have in Genesis 4 is mina. And now this word is almost always used in the Old Testament to refer to a gift of gratitude. It's not so much a sacrifice. In fact, my translation has it right in translating it as offering. It's more of a tithe or an offering of gratitude. And so you would find it in the grain offerings or the oil offerings of the Levitical law. So whenever you had a child or you had a marriage or you had a prayer need, you had some disease that you were praying about, you would bring an offering of grain or oil and you would give it to the Lord. Now certainly, that offering is a sacrifice. When you give an offering to the Lord, you're to give sacrificially. You're to give in a way that signifies that you trust the Lord with your possessions. That's why we take up tithes as an act of worship every Sunday morning. We're not just taking it up because the church needs money, because the Lord owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. The Lord will take care of us whether you give or not. You give as an act of sacrificial worship to the Lord. So there's nothing wrong with giving in that way. That's commanded by the Lord in the Old Testament just as well as anything else. But these gifts were given as a symbol of gratitude and thankfulness, they were not the same as a guilt offering. In keeping with this idea of offering, Cain brings crops to offer to God as a tribute or as a tithe. His offering communicates gratitude, but it doesn't communicate guilt. However, Abel brings an offering of a totally different kind. He brings a blood offering. His offering, foreshadowing the Passover lamb and the bulls of the Day of Atonement, was given as an admission of his sinfulness before God and his need for atonement. But I don't want you getting the wrong idea here. I don't want you thinking, well, okay, so the problem that Cain had was he gave an offering of the wrong substance. So if Cain had just brought the right kind of offering, then he would have been accepted. And that's not what is happening here at all. In fact, Cain could have gotten everything right as far as the substance goes. He could have brought the right type of lamb. He could have done it in the right kind of way. He could have gone through the whole process and still been rejected by God because he lacked the most important thing. Notice again what Hebrews says. It says, by what? By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which, and if your translation says that too, I'd underline it, through which he was commended as righteous. Oh, brothers and sisters, here lies the very heart of the gospel message. Salvation is by faith alone, by God's grace alone, through the sacrifice of God alone. Right. Notice, it is by faith that Abel offered an acceptable sacrifice. Yes, the sacrifice was of the right substance, but it was of the right substance because of the faith of Abel. It would have meant nothing had Abel not offered it by faith. In other words, Abel knew that he was a sinner. He knew that his works could never save him. He knew that the only hope he had for being right with God was through a blood sacrifice. So he made a blood sacrifice by faith and looking forward to the day when God would forgive all sin through the sacrifice of his son. Not only is faith the means by which he offered an acceptable sacrifice, but is also the means by which he was commended. Notice again that phrase that I've mentioned that you should underline. Notice the writer says, through which, that's faith, through which he was commended as righteous. The sacrifice didn't make him righteous. The lamb didn't make him righteous. The work of gathering up that lamb and killing it and skinning it and processing it and taking the fatted portions and burning it, all that work didn't make him righteous. It was the faith that God would forgive his sins through atonement that made him righteous before God. That and nothing else. So with that, consider my second point, which is that faith righteously suffers. Now, there's a second half to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4. And it says, through faith, Abel still speaks. Again, there's an interesting quirk about the story of Cain and Abel in Genesis 4. You'll notice when you read it that there's a whole lot said about Cain. We get the celebration of his birth. We get the fact that he's a gardener like his father, that he made an offering to God, that he killed his brother, that he ran away into the wilderness, that he built a city. We get a whole lot of stuff about Cain. And further than that, we also see that there was a great deal of hope with Cain. At the very beginning of the passage, we read in Genesis chapter 4 that Eve has Cain and she celebrates. She says, I have gotten a man with the help of the Lord. She doesn't say, I've gotten a boy. She says, I've gotten a man with the help of the Lord. Now, some of that celebration is probably just the fact that the race will continue, that even after sin, humanity will continue through the birth of her firstborn son, Cain. But I think that there's actually more to this celebration than even that. You see, back in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, as God is pronouncing curses on the serpent, he says that the seed of the woman will crush the head of the serpent. And so I think that what Eve sees in Cain when he is born is, this is the man. This is the seed of the woman. This is the one who will defeat the rule of Satan. But instead of crushing the head of the serpent, Cain crushes the head of his brother. But by contrast, very little is known about Abel. We know his name. We know that he raised sheep. We know that he offered an acceptable sacrifice and that he was murdered. His mama doesn't celebrate him. That's middle child, if there ever was one, right? Who's the middle child in here? His mama didn't celebrate him. Little is said about him, and he does very little. But in fact, even his name means breath. But for all of his insignificance, he is commended by God for his faith. So the writer of Hebrews says, that through that faith, he still speaks. Abel's witness is not of power, it's not of conquest, it's not of achievement, it's not of his good works. Abel's testimony, Abel's witness is simply of his faith, of simply admitting his need for a sacrifice and trusting in the grace of God. You see, friend, that is the only way of salvation. That is the only way to be made right with God. That is the only way to be accepted by God. It is not in your good works. You could be just like Cain and think, if I just got the order right, if I just went through it in the right way, if I just did things correctly in my life, then God will bless me. And sure, there is benefit to living righteously, to living by the law of God, by living in a good ethical way. But you will not be accepted before God because of your good works, because of your ordered life, because of your right way of behavior. The only way to be accepted before God is through faith in the sacrifice that He has given. Amen. And so, to be a disciple of Christ is to follow the way of Abel. And it is to live a life that trusts in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. It is to live by faith and to allow that to be our testimony. Brothers and sisters, this is the only witness that we need. We do not need the witness of man's recognition. So often, people get sour in the church because the preacher didn't thank me for that cake I made, or the church didn't recognize me for my gift. We expect to be called out, to receive a plaque, to be adored. But as Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6, people who give with that attitude have their reward in the applause of men. Right. But they don't have the reward of heaven. Instead, our witness should be a quiet, humble life of faith. When the world despises us, we take that suffering with the humility of faith. When men seek to harm us because of Christ, we suffer with faith. And we do so knowing that our faith will speak long after we are gone, just as Abel did. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the faith of Abel, for the testimony that his faith still gives to us, that though he died, his faith still speaks. Lord, I pray that we would live such a life of faith, that we would testify to our need for salvation. We would testify for our sinfulness and the work of Christ to forgive us, and that we would allow that and that alone to be our witness. That we would not covet the praise of men, that we would not covet to be more powerful or more recognized than others, but instead that we would seek the simple, quiet life of faith that lives in repentance and trusting in the sacrifice that Jesus has given. I pray that you would bless us now as we respond. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.